discussing, but very very difficult daf because the Mishnah has a difficult logic to it, and then the Gemara tries to deal with the Mishnah's difficult logic, and so it just becomes more cumbersome. You know, that the Rif wrote extensively on this, a lot of the Rishon wrote on this extensively. It became a subject. Why it's so famous, this Mishnah, is because it's a subject of an article by Professor Yisrael Uman, who is the Nobel Prize winner for game theory. And he used this Mishnah as the basis for one of his, for to prove or to show some of his, the game theory in the Gemara. And so that's one of the things I found. I was digging around for it last night because I wanted to read the article. I only got about halfway through it. But he goes through his idea of why the Mishnah itself is logical. So now, the issue is that the Mishnah presents certain ideas, and then the Gemara, because the logic of the Mishnah is so difficult, the Gemara presents Ukimto to try to explain the Mishnah, which makes it even, you know, makes it more Mesubach, and then you'll have comments from Tosfos like, I don't know what they're doing. Things like that, which make it, you know, even, you know, you wonder then what's really going on in the Mishnah. We'll do our best to explain it, you know, just so you know, it's out there, and I think the dafyomi.com or someone's running tonight a live lecture with Professor Uman at 8:30 tonight. You can do it over the internet.
Israel time?
Yeah, 8:30 Israel time. They're doing it again New York time on Thursday, but I think that turns out to be like 6:15 or something Israel time. But at 8:30 p.m. tonight, they're running a live lecture with him for the about his theory on this Mishnah. All right, just as a way of a background before we start. Okay, Misha Nasui Shlosh Nashim. All right, so he's married to three women who mace. Right? So you have three women that he's married to. Each one of the women has a different size ketubah, right? The first one has 100, the second one has 200, and the third one has 300. So now they have to divide these spoils. And Rashi points out, it has to be that what? They're all signed the same day, because otherwise there's no question at hand, because then whoever came first has ketimus, right? Because they are the first claimant on the estate. The fact that they all came on the same day means that they have equal claim to the estate. Now, do they really have equal claim to the estate? Does their size of ksuba have any impact, right, on their claim to the estate? So the Mishnah is going to give three examples, and it seems that it divides it differently in each of the examples. So the first example is what? Vein sham elamono. There's only 100 there in the estate. Now they have to split between them the 100. So what do they do? So chokim b'shavet. They all get equal portion. What's an equal portion? Each one of them would get, right, 33 and a third. Here. Each one of them would get a 33 and a third because, right, at least at this point it seems that up to 100, they all have an equal claim on the estate. Meaning that the least amount of lien or, right, that is owed to them by the estate is 100. So then if you take, each one of them takes an equal portion within that 100. So that's 33 and a third for each one of them. Now the next case in the Mishnah, Hayusha Matayim. Right, this is the more complicated case, is the more difficult one to understand. If there's 200 there. So now once there's 200, Shamana Notelet Chamishim. Right, that the 100, woman who owes 100 lien on the estate takes 50. Shamatayim Vishalosh Meot, the 200 and the 300, each take Chamishim. Right, they each take skipping something.
No.
Shlosha, right. Shlosha is something zahav, right? Oh, there it is. Shlosha zahav. Three gold coins. Each gold coin is the equivalent of 25 silver. So that'd be the equivalent of 75. Okay, so that's what they get. So the 100 gets 50, right? And then the other two ladies get 75 each. So what's the thing? Right, to get up, that gets you 150. If it's 50, gets you to 200. The obvious issue is, why is the first one getting 50 here? Right? Does not make any sense that she should have a right to 50. Why? Because if you suggest that they have an equal right to the first 100, right, then they all should be getting 33 and a third. And then there, if the other two have rights to the second 100, then they'll divide that 50-50. Right? So then the first woman should end up with 33 and a third, and the next two women should end up with 83 and a third. Right? The fact that the first woman ends up with 50 is very difficult. What's her entitlement to 50 here at all? Why does she have more rights in this first 100 than the other two women have in the first 100? Just, I'm pointing it out because that's what the Gemara is going to have to deal with, and that's one of the more problematic issues in the Mishnah. How you have shlosh shemayot? What happens if there's 300 there? Shomana notelet chamishim, the 100 gets 50. Shomatai mana, the 200 gets 100. The 300 gets 6 gold coins, which is the equivalent of what? 6 times 25 is 150. All right, so that's 150. So here, if you want, I mean, he just happens to have a graph. This is a picture of the way the mission divides the split up, right? Here's the size of the ksuba, and here's the amount in the estate, and this is the divisions, right? In the first line of the mission, it's 33 and 30 each. Second line in the Mishnah, or the 200, it's 50, 75, 75. And the last case in the Mishnah, it's 50, 100, 150. All right, so that's sometimes it's easier to see when you visualize it. You can see the, those are the numbers that are there. Now, the last case, is a division of what? If you add up all their claims, right, all their claims are equal to 600, right? It's 300 plus 200 plus 100. They have a claims of 600. So if I take the 600 and divide it between the three claims, then the 100 has 1/6 of the claim. The 200 has what? 2/6 of the claim. And the 300 has 3/6, or half the claim. So if you do that, what? It divides up the 300 evenly, right? That's how it divides the 300. Because what? The 300 gets half the pot. That's 150, right? The 200 or the 100 would get 1/6 and 2/6 each, which is 50 and 100. So you understand how the Mishnah broke it down in the last case. So the first case makes sense in the Mishnah why they broke it up, Shavet, 33 and 3rd, 33 and 3rd. We understand that. The last case in the Mishnah, you can at least understand they took it as a pot, a single part, and they gave them proportionally their claims against the estate. The middle case is very hard to understand. And then the third problem is that it's inconsistent through the three cases. Yeah. I mean, why is it different through the three cases? That's the subject of
the biggest problem.
Right, is the internal inconsistency in the Mishnah. And that's what he deals with. What's the internal logic in the Mishnah? And he shows that throughout Shas, there's a general principle that whenever we argue, the basic premise, I'll just give you the basic premise of the article. I'm not going to go through it now, but the basic premise of the article is throughout Shas, whenever two parties or two litigants argue about a certain amount of money, right, what you do is basically divide the pot up and say, what are they arguing on? Whatever piece of the pot they're not arguing on, we give to the one party. Then the residual amount, we give to the split between them. So the classic case is Misha Oksim, right?
Both
Misha,
right?
Shnayim Oksim Batalis, right? He says, I own the whole thing, and the other guy says, I own half of it. Right? So you have to say, one is 100. Something out there that's 100. One guy says, it's all 100 is mine. The other guy says, 50 is mine. So what do we do there? 50 we give to the guy who says 100 because the first other guy admitted it. So only contesting about the residual 50. So that way, so now you give 25-25. He ends up with 75. The other guy ends up with 25. And that's the division. So he shows that the Mishnah sticks to this logic. It's very complicated, but that's what he does with the Mishnah. We're going to go on. The Gemara goes a different direction. All right. So I'm just pointing it out to you so that you have a sense that the Mishnah is very difficult, and then the Gemara is going to try to deal with it. And the Gemara has the Hamoraim are going to try with two different options to try to adjust the Mishnah to keep some sort of internal consistency within the Mishnah. All right? Shomana, no telet chamishim. This is the second case in the Mishnah. Right?
Is it the last one in the Mishnah?
Oh, probably not.
No.
All right. Same. V'chein gimel shetilu l'kis. Three people go to business together. They're put into a pot to go to business together. Pech to'otiru kecha in hochikim. Therefore, they divide the same way. So that's a nice statement. So too they divide here. We don't even know how they're dividing in the Mishnah to say so too they're dividing over here. But that's another issue that the Gemara will have to deal with. All right. Shomana notelet chamishim. All right. So this is the second case in the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah, the 100 woman gets 50, which makes no sense. Why? Tzlatin v'tzlatin v'tiltahu d'isla. She should only get 33 and a third. I mean, if you keep the Mishnah consistently, which is what? If we argue about the claimant of 100, also there's only 100, there's 200 in the estate, she should only have a claim on the first 100, according to the way the Gemara views the Mishnah, and therefore she should only have what? 33 and a third in that second case. Why is she getting 50 in this second case? So now here comes your first ukimta. Amar Shmuel, Bekotebet Balat Matayim LeBalat Mana. So the woman who has the claim of 200 writes to the woman who has a claim of 100. I will not argue with you about the first 100. So she basically pulls herself out of the first 100. So therefore, it only leaves two claimants in the first 100, which is woman number one and woman number three. I'll make it easy for everybody, right? Woman number one has 100, woman number two has 200, woman number three has 300. So whenever I'm saying them, you just know that if I'm saying woman number three, that means it's the 100 and the 300 claimants, all right? So it's woman number one and woman number three are only ones arguing about the first 100. So they split it between them, and it gets 50 and 50, right? So then the Gemara says, Ihachi ema seifa. What are you going to do with the next part of the Mishnah? If that's the case, then the third part of the Mishnah makes no sense. Why, right? Why is Shalmatayim v'shalosh miot shalosh shel zahav? In the next half, the next piece of that Mishnah, what? They get 75 each. Why are they ending up with 75 each? Tamala, the number three, can say to number two, Hasalak nafsheich mina. You pulled yourself out, right? Right, of the first 100. So why should I have to split evenly with you in the remaining 200? Right, meaning that just because you pulled yourself out of the first 100 and number one benefited, why do I lose now? Basically, that's what's happening, right? We're taking from number three and giving it to number one. Because now we come to the next 200 in the pot, or the next 100, I'm sorry, the next 100 in the pot, and they're splitting it evenly, right? They're going it, and they're splitting it evenly. So why should that be? Mishum de amrala medinu devarim hu desligi nafshai. No, I agreed not to argue with her. But that doesn't mean what? I didn't, right, doesn't mean that I took myself out of getting my claim of full 200. All right, now if you just, right, all right, what type of, it's hard to understand what he's really, what we're really saying here, but I will, we can just, let me see if the Rashi says anything here, but that's a very difficult answer here. Oh yeah, Medina Devarim Slik and Nafshe, look at Rashi. All right, maybe we'll read the Rashi. Lo natati chelki b'matana. I didn't give it as a gift. Mashagavta lo b'shlichuti. She didn't come and take my portion in the first 100. Rather, Gavta, Shatei Amarli, not Lazu Chalkeich. You, the number three, can't come to me and say, she took your portion in number one, therefore you lose in the residual amount. Anisi Lakti Atzmi Milarif. All I did was, Ima, I just said, I'm not going to argue. Doesn't mean that I give up my claim. It just says, I'm not going to argue with you. Umilama'et Chalka B'mana. So she, I just say, in the first 100, I'm just not going to argue. But I'm not. Doesn't mean my claim went down in any way, and it doesn't mean that she's taking my portion. And she, therefore, what, had the ability to take half of it because she's only arguing with you. Right? Now, whatever's left over, I'm ready to argue with you about. But I did not exempt you from my arguing with you in my full claim. And we both have, in that residual amount, in that residual 100, we are equally claiming.
No, she's saying that I'm arguing with you about the 50 that you got from the first mana and about the full second mana.
Right. Or they,
so that's 150 altogether, and that's why we each end up with 75.
Exactly. Your 50, I never gave up a claim against you, so it's 150, and we're going to split that evenly. 75, right? You're 50 from the first 100 plus your 100 from the second. All right, that's very, I'm just,
difficult.
Yes, I'm telling you it's not. Okay, so that's not a not easy, and that answer is very difficult. All right, now next. Hayusham Shlosh Meot. Mara's going to do a very similar thing here again. So now,
Tosis is very cute. Amrullah.
Which one? Yeah, Damar Lami didn't divide my
slick.
He says, Loit Barash Shapir, time of the hot mill. So that's what I mentioned to you earlier when we in the introduction. Tosis here is, I don't understand. I can't really understand what the Gemara is after over here.
You don't usually see that in Tosis. Rashi, you see it. Some place where Rashi says that.
It's interesting. Tosis, don't
you say? The internal the logic is very, very difficult.
They must not have checked with Ravina the time on this one. Hard to imagine.
No, this is Tosis. This is Rav Shimon.
It's different. You can see because you see the way they're. It must be a late Tosafot because he's quoting Rebbe all this Rebbe all the time, right. Which is the Re. I think it seems to be referring to the Re. This Tosafot are written very differently. If you can see, sometimes you can understand who authored the Tosafot by how they're written. And these Tosafot are different than other places in Shas. You see him quoting his Rebbe all the time, Rebbe Omer. Which probably means he's referring to the Re, rather than Omer Re, it says Rebbe Omer. So the different style of Tosfos, which usually gives away who's the author of these Tosfos. Anyway, Hayusham Shlosh Meot. All right, so now, this is the third case in the Mishnah, right? Shal Matayim Mono. Right, the lady number two gets 100. Shivim Chamishahu Isla. Why is she getting 100? She should only get 75, based on the way the logic of the Mishnah is what? That they should get 75. So the Gemara says, who or Shimon Chamishahu Dislo? Amar Shmuel. So what are we going to do here? The problem is what? If you go with the logic of the Mishnah so far, it means what? In the first 100, right? In the first 100, they are there's a 50, right, over here that they'll split it evenly, right? Then in the second 100, she should split it with the second woman, right? And the third 100, the third person should get by herself, right? But that's not what's happening here. What we're having here is we're dividing by their proportional claim on the total estate in this case. Right, so that's what we pointed out, was the inconsistency in the Gemara. So the Gemara says that how we get to...
It looks that way.
What?
It looks that way.
It looks that way, right. But now they're going to fix that by introducing...
That's why we're continuing the interpretation of the middle case, that she excused herself.
So you might try to do that, but then it doesn't work because the second woman...
How does he end up with 75 for her?
Okay, so that's the next case over here. Oh, wait, no, 50, 75, 75. The last case, she ends up with 50, 100, 150. That's
but the Gemara is saying right. She should only end up with 75.
Right,
she should end up with 100.
Right.
Why? How do you get to 75?
Why? Because she pulled herself out of the first mana.
Yeah, I'm saying you have to be continuing. You have to be continuing the same explanation as we gave for the second case. We're saying the same.
That makes some sense.
Right. So now why? So now the Gemara says here. So the Gemara does the same thing of Shmuel. Shematay mana. Shvim chamishahu diisla. She should only get 75. Amar Shmuel because tevet balat shalosh meot the palat matayim. Right. So now we have another case. The third woman writes to number two. Right. Uluvalat mana dina devarim isla ainli imachem b'mana. She excuses herself from the first 100. Right. She excuses herself from the first 100 that's out there. So then this is a very this is even more complicated now too.
Well, then the first woman should get
a complete 100.
Okay, we don't know because number one is still arguing with number three. That what Rashi points out is here. This writing is not an addition to the first case that we just said. It's a totally separate case.
Right. Okay, so one is not arguing with three.
All right, so give one second. So then number one and number two are excused from number three. From arguing with number three. She writes, I'm not going to argue with you with the first 100. So in the first 100, number one and number two split, and they get 50, 50 each. Okay, so now what do? Now you come to the 50, 50, right. Then you come to the second 100. Right, they get 50-50 because it's number two and number three are arguing about that one. Number one's out of the picture because we're past the first 100. Right, so then she gets 50 more, which gets her to 100. Then number three gets 50, and three gets the last 100 is all hers by herself. Right, and Tosfos points out, I don't know what's going on over here, but, you know, what's this whole concept of removing oneself from this is, how does this help you with the whole situation? Because now you've made an Ukimta and the Mishnah, which have two different cases. I mean, the Tana brought down three cases, and then when Shmuel comes and makes an Ukimta to the Mishnah, all right, it's not the same woman writing to the other women each time. In the second case, he has woman number two writing, excusing woman number one. And in the third case, he has woman number three excusing one and two. So, I mean, right, it's the same style of problem, but it makes the Mishnah so much subach.
Why would the Mishnah be written that way? Why did they write the Mishnah that way?
The consistency is that in both the second and third cases is one woman who's excusing herself from.
At least we're not alone in saying that because now Rav Nar Pakud is going to say no way.
Right.
And then we're going to have a third answer that says no way also. Okay. Rav Nar Mibnar Pakud Mishmei de Ravina Amar Reisha. B'shtei tfisot, seifa b'shtei tfisot, right? That there's, depends, what? On how many, the estate did not fall in one shot, okay? The estate fell in two different portions, right? So that when they came to each portion, they were not looking at the full estate, right? So this is what happens. So reisha b'shtei tfisot, seifa b'shtei tfisot. They fell twice. Reisha b'shtei tfisot, what does it mean that the ratio is straight tfisot that it fell? Reisha meaning the second case in the Mishnah, right? Because first case, chokim b'shaveh, right? That doesn't, we're okay with that in terms of the logic, not the internal logic in the Mishnah, but I'm just saying in terms of the logic, we understand how that got split, okay? Number, the real problem in terms of logic is the second case in the Mishnah you always have to deal with, right? That's the case that makes the hardest to understand. All right, so now, when it says the ratio is b'shtei tfisot, what? The naflu, shivim v'chamisha b'chad zimna. 75 fell the first time from the estate. So now when 75 falls right from the estate, 75 is still below all of their claims, right? It's below all of their claims. it's below all of their claims, God bless you. If it's below all of their claims, what are you going to do? They have equal right to that 75. What's the equal right? So now they all end up with 25 each.
And don't lose the salary. Right.
What?
And don't lose the salary.
No, this is, he's a different, totally different Ukimta, right? This is Shmuel's gone. This is Rabbi Yaakov Nachman, right? This is not Silik, right? Then the 125 fell subsequent to that. So you have the 125 claim. Now, the Balas Meis, woman number one, who took 25, now only has a claim left of 75. Right? So she's only now arguing on 75 of the new 125 that falls. So on that 75, we're going to divide it evenly, three. So woman number one now has 50. Well, they all have 50. Each one has 50, right? And now what do we have left? If each one has 50, we have 100. We have 150 out of 200. So there's now only 50 left. Of that 50, the woman number two and woman number three both
claim.
Still have a claim left on that. So they split that evenly, and they get 25 each, 25 each. So now you end up with a division of 50, 75, 75. So that's how he explains the second mission.
Why was the second 75? 75 out of the 125 evenly.
Because their claims are in excess.
The total was only 200 in that case. So 2 and 3 both have a claim to 200.
Up to 200, right. Their claim does not end at that point in time, right? That last, even number two has only exercised claim. That 125, when it falls, number two.
There are still three claims on the 125.
Right, you're talking about the first 75, right?
No, I'm talking about this. Of the 125 that falls,
yeah, the second,
and there's 75 that gets divided evenly.
Right.
I mean, woman number one
is out of the picture now because she claimed up that 75 plus her original 25, and now she's out of the picture.
Why is she able to claim on 75? Because she only she
received 25 in the first. So now her 100,
her remaining claim is 75.
Right.
And she's still owed up to $75.
She actually was worth
she got paid out.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. It's not. I got caught in Europe because woman number two is more difficult. I, if you're doing this, when I originally learned this, it took me some time to figure out. But that woman number two, it's not so clear why she still has a claim left. Because when she took from the original pot, there was 75 there, right?
That's
and then 75, and then she has the next pot comes out is they're taking out of 70 out of the 125.
That's 200.
Right? She's taking 75 out of that. Right? So now she's up to 150. Right, why does she have any unless 50 left? She has a residual claim. Maybe it's the third case that I had a problem with it. All right, so let's go. Next one. Seifa b'shtei tfisot. What happened here? It fell twice. The naflu shivim b'chamisha b'chad zimna. So this is the case. What? You get 75 in the first falling. Everybody has a claim to the 75. That gives you 25, 25, 25. That's what we're divided up so far. Then falls in the second falling. It's matayim esrim b'chamisha. Instead of 125, you get 225 b'chad zimna. So now, woman number one ends up at the same 50 again. Why? Because she only has a claim to the another 75.
Right.
They'll split that evenly. All right, then everybody has 250 each. All right, now what are we going to do with the residual that's in there? Right now we've up to 150, and there's 300 in the estate. So that means there's 150 left to divide here.
Two people
with two claimants.
Right, with two claimants, but what?
One of the claimants only has 100,000.
Right, one of the claimants only can go up to 200, and the other claimant can go up to the full 300.
We said there's 150 left over here.
Right.
The one who can only go up to 200 has a claim of 150 remaining.
Right. So
because she's only received 50
right,
so far.
That's what bothered me. So now I'm going to tell you, that's why I got, when I did this first, it bothered me that the woman had, the second woman only has a claim left. If we're taking out 75, 75, 150, she only has a claim up to 200, she only has 50 left to claim on. Right, so she should get, right, 25 each, and she'd only end up with 75. Problem is, in the third case, make sure she ends up with 100.
Right, so no, I think her claim is on the whole 150, because she's only received 50, sir.
No, then the first question will go back in also.
What?
No, the first one already received her.
She
already received, right, she received 50 out of the full 100 that she was entitled to claim.
The problem with the way I'm doing the logic is what? I'm really saying that there's three fallings of the estate. I'm taking 75. Then 75 again, and then 150 and 70. It's not the case. That second time when it falls, it's a 225 in one block. So when it comes to 225 in one block, what in that 225, how much of a claim do I have? So if I look at the 225 as one unit, right, we've each received 25 so far. So, right, I have a claim, woman number one has a claim of 75, up to 75 to get her whole. Right? Woman number two in that 225, she has a claim of
175.
Right, she has more. Oh, it's more. She has actually has a claim of
25. She's 25.
She's 25. She has a claim of 175.
You split it by making a second.
Right. Right. So then, and then woman number three has a claim up to 275, which is an excess rate of the pot. But because we took the first 75 and divided up 25, 25, 25, right now woman number two has already received what? She's already received 50 of her 50 of her claim.
No, or say she's received 25 of her 175 claim.
Right. So she received in that second falling, she's received 25 of the
175 that she can still claim.
So she has 150 left.
And that's the balance that's left also.
Right. So that's why she has the balance left is now is what you've taken out 150 out of 300, so there's 150 left.
Right.
She has 150 claim, and the other woman still has a claim that's up in excess, 250. Right. So now, how are we going to split that last piece or that last portion that is left over now? How much is left? It's 150 left. So she gets we're going to say that she can only claim up to the 200 level of the residual amount.
75, 75, 50.
Right. So it's going to end up. We know the answer is it's 50, 100, 150. Right. So what's left over? 150. That means one of them is going to get 50. The other one's going to get 100, right? Woman number two is going to get 50. Woman number three is going to get 100. So the question is, she can only have a claim on the next 100 in there to split evenly between them, right?
What?
Why does she only, right? Well, right, the reason
since we know that she only gets 50 out of it.
So that's why does she, right? Why does she only have a claim of 100, which was what bothered me yesterday. I thought her claim should be bigger. So I'm just going to read the Rashi with you just to show you how the logic works, but I'm just going to say, if you say Seifa b'shtei tfisot, it's the last Rashi in the narrow lines, right before it gets to the very wide lines, right? Seifa b'shtei tfisot, matayim esrim kumin avad zimna. Ayin hei minayu yad kulan shavin bo, right? That's what we discussed, right? The first 75,
right.
Everybody's equal in that, so they split it, 25, 25, 25. Ubalat matayim, shelo gavta b'tfisa rishona. So the 200 woman, and in the first grabbing Ella Esrim B'chamisha, she only got 25. Ba'al Ariv Al Shniya Al Kuf Ayin Hey. She has 175 claim left. Upalge, right? Ayin Hey Ben Shloshtan. And therefore they divide up the 75, right, between each of them equally, right? Because that's number one has that claim still on the 75. Nimsa Bia Kolachas Chamisha. Right now each one of them has Chamishim. Each one has now 50. Umeya, right? Then you have 100 that is going to be divided between what? Ben Balat Matayim Ubalat Shloshmeot. There's 100 here that's going to be what? Left over that they're going to split between them. Right? So now, the question now is why does she only now, at this point, have a claim to...
You're right what you said. Because if we try to make it like... Once we take the first woman out of the picture and then start redividing again, that's when we run into trouble. But that's not really what happens with her, since it's only two tefisa.
Right. That's the issue.
No, but he's not saying that. That's what
Right.
Look at the Hagar. Nimtza b'yakolachas chamishim, chamishim, chamishim.
Right.
Umeyo. Ben. Because now, how did they get chamishim, chamishim? Because they made that second break in the second tefisa.
Right.
They cut that tefisa.
But when you continue to divide it up between the second and the third,
right.
You only continue from that 175 that were in dispute at that point. You don't recalculate the full amount.
There's 150 left.
You started with 175. That we said the second woman received 25 already. So she's of the 225 that falls in the second tefisa, she's only entitled to dispute 175. Right? So you can only deal with that 175, which means that we're saying take 50 off the top right away. 50 we know goes to the 50 we know goes to the third woman alone. There's no disputing it. So it's only that 175 that's going to be divided up. Right? So when the first woman gets completely out of the picture, it's only what's remaining from the 175 that can be divided between the second and the third
now. Excellent.
The top 50 already belongs to the third one.
So that's what confused me yesterday, and Charles explaining why it doesn't work there, because when you have the 225 that come in the end, the Balas 200, right, only has a claim of totally of 175 on that piece. So 50 of it automatically goes to woman number three. So that's out of the picture, right? That's when I first, I read this, it took me a long time, and then I finally found it, like in one of the Rishonim that he said, like that 50's gone. So Balas Shalosh gets the 50. So she's now at 100, and the other two have 50 each. Now what's left in the pot, right, after we've divided that, is what? is 100. There's 100 left in the pot in the end. There's 100 left in the pot. We've divided up.
He took 50 went to the third woman, 25 went to the...
75 went to each one of them.
Right.
We went 50 to the... 50. Each of them has 50 now, plus number three has an additional 50, right, which is 100. So now we've taken 200 out of the 300 pot. What's left is 100, which Balash Shnayim and Balash Shalosh are arguing over, and they get 50 each. Right, so that gets sort of 100 and gets the last woman to 150. All right, so that's I'm pointing it out because it gave me a lot of difficulty, but I'm explaining to you why. Because if you look at it as the problem that we have is we look at it as 70, there are three tefisa, which is 75, 75, and then the residual, but that's not true. The last 225, when it fell, right, was a single unit that fell. In that single unit, the Balash Shtayim does not have a full claim on that 225. She can only get up to 175 of that 225, and that's what makes this all work, because that 50 is then out of the picture, and then the argument's over the residual 100.
This is more logical than the first way of learning it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Either way.
It's more consistent.
It's more consistent. It doesn't have to set up the strange Mitzvahs of being misalikah.
Right. Okay. I understand. It's still, yeah.
It's more logical to understand, than to understand the same. I think misalik from you and not from this.
Okay. The obvious difficulty is why why as a woman who has a claim of 100, which is what happens here, so the woman has a claim of 100, this is the difficulty with this chat, is that if I'm a woman who has a claim, number one, who has a claim of 100, I go into the pot the first time around when it fell at 75, and I put in my claim for 100. That should get me up to 75, right? Out of that, there's 75 here. I should have used up 7,500 of my claim on that first one. We all get 25. All of a sudden we come back, it falls again. She says, I only got 25. I have 75 on my claim. So she's making her claim twice on that same 75. That's the difficulty with this. It sounds more logical up front, but if you really think about it, she's coming back with the same claim twice.
But if you didn't do that, and you said she's out because she really...
No, if you took everybody out 75, she has a claim of 25 left. I mean, that's where she didn't put her claim down. I mean, proportionately, she should only have 25 left.
No, we're doing the same thing for the other two women. The other two women, when they each receive 25, afterwards, we don't say that we don't subtract 75 from each of their claims.
Right.
Subtract only the 25 that each of them got.
It's internally consistent. Inside this claim.
Right, you're saying logically, before you start dividing it up, you say, okay, she had a claim of 100, there was 75 available for her to claim on.
They reset the claims with the second thesis.
Right, exactly. That's what is difficult with this logic. I'm not saying they do it for each of the women. I'm not saying it's not internally inconsistent. It's but just as if you started, if I gave you this case originally, would you ever say that they can come back after they get paid out with the same claim twice? That's what's the problem with it. I'm just...
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Why is that not a problem?
Because they're all on equal footing.
Because the existence of the second thesis is what generates that reset. And then, in other words, that's the chap.
Right. Lemaisa, the first woman was really entitled to 100,
right.
So she only got 25. So,
right. But that's what it does, right? Basically, what you're suggesting is that, which is what the Gemara is doing, is that the first tefisa and the second tefisa have nothing to do with each other. Meaning that I do not by making a claim on the, which it's hard because the estate is a single entity that I'm making a claim on. Just because the estate was generated in two parts, right? We're creating a situation where. This Balas 100, right, really has somewhat of an advantage, right? She's really getting, quote unquote, more than she should because she's coming back with a second full claim, even though she's been paid out. Unfortunately,
cash wise, it comes out more fair the way we're doing it now than if you said that she did a 75, she's out. Because then do the math.
It works in the third case. It works more evenly, but in the second case, it's not working out. They get 50, 75, 75. In that second case submission, we have state kifot. The first woman is ending up the best in that situation.
Proportionally,
right? She's getting 50% of her.
In the
third case, it works easily because everybody's getting their proportionate claim. They're getting the amount out of the pot. That's why the third part of the mission is easy to understand. I tell you, the second case in the mission is the hardest case because there's no logic. The first case of the mission, they're divided evenly, period. Third case of the mission, they're divided proportionately. Second case of the mission, that's where the logic breaks down. You're saying to me, your argument, it's easy, but what do you do with that second case? The first woman is advantaged significantly by being able to bring her second her claim back again. She gets 50. She's only getting 75. She is significantly advantaged by being able to bring her full claim back again.
It's like because they're two tisas. It's like when you approach the second tisa, each of them are pogemes b'ksuvasan. Right? And it was like they're saying. Like imagine, forget about it. Like you said, really the two tisas are disconnected. So it's like the woman is coming to collect her ksuva, and we're saying, okay, swear that you didn't receive your ksuva payment yet. And she says, well, I received a ksuva payment of 25.
right. Yeah,
right, so I'm
not disagreeing with you, but the logic now ends up with the second case, so it's difficult. All right, so we'll move along. Right, we got to move along here. All right, so now the Gemara, it gets easier after this. There's one more line in the Gemara that's hard, and then it should get much easier. All right, now, Tanya. So now the Gemara, having so much difficulty, we have two Amoraim who set this up already. So the Gemara says, still has difficulty. Tanya, Zu Mishnah, Rabbi Natan. All right, no, this is the Mishnah of Rabbi Natan, right? This is a Mishnah that we don't go by. But Halacha Rabbi Omer, ain't any red from Rabbi Natan Beelu. I don't think that Rabbi Natan's right in here. Ella Chokot Bishavet. They divided up Bishavet. What does that mean? Chokot Bishavet. Right. So this is the last difficulty here. What does that mean?
Thanks for the help, Rabbi.
That's right, because we had this line in the Mishnah already. Chokin. They divided. What's Chokin Bishavet? So this is a machlokes between. What? Rashi and what? And Tosfos here. So just we'll read Rashi quickly. The last Rashi on the page. Alright. She'ain, ain't any red verbs, Rabbi Natan Beelu. She'ain zedome, the shlosh shetilu the kis. This is not like the case of three people that throw into a pot. The hotam, shevach moshe, ishbichu, excuse me, motem shakli. They tack out the proportional amount. Kilchad kol echad yitol lifi molotov. Therefore, each person will put out. Aval hacha, taima mishum shibuda. Over here, it all has to do with Shiva, the lean who. You can't divide up the nechassim that his entire estate, she has a lean on the entire estate for her ksuba. Right? You can't divide it up. The full 300 is, the 100 has a claim on the full 300. Kishar chabrotea, achitik ba kol subata. Until she gets paid out entirely, she has a claim on any amount that's in the estate. As long as she's not paid out, she has a claim on the estate. The fikach cholkot bishaveh. That's what Rashi. Rashi's answer is what? The women divide it evenly. Whatever amount he falls. So if it's going to be 100, it's going to be 33 and a third. If it's going to be 200, it's going to be, right, 66 and two thirds. And if it's going to be
300,
it's going to be 100 each.
She'll get a whole thing.
Right, that's it. Until you're paid out fully, we're going to split it evenly. Then she's out of the picture. And then you got the 200 and 300 left. But that's the way Rashi reads it. Rashi reads that the conclusion of the Gemara is that he believes chokos b'shava means what?
Proportionally. Until she gets her hand.
Until you're fully paid out. It's equal. You're on equal footing until you're paid out. That's what Rashi believes. Right? Tosa says no. He says no way.
You could learn Rashi differently. When Rashi says v'ikach chokos b'shava, you could learn that it means proportionally.
Rashi's learning. He's saying that they have a full claim up to the amount there. Tosfos argues, you can see this Tosfos, and this will be end the hard part of the daf, and then we'll be able to fly. All right, so now Tosfos says, where does he say? Let me just find it, maybe on the next one. Just find a good line to read from it. All right, here. So on the second line of Tosfos, and I'm going to bet. Second line of Tosfos. Vizet. She'amar Rebbe, eni ani ro devar be'elu, bebaba deresha, o bebaba benitzia. When he's arguing, he says, I don't agree with Rabbi Natan, that's only in the first two cases in the Mishnah, right? Above the Seifa, the last case in the Mishnah with the 300, where they divide it proportionately. Remember, I showed you the logic in each one of the cases. That, Hayusham Shlosh Meot, Shoshan, Shalmana, Notelet Chamishim, Shalmatai Manav, Shoshlosh Meot, Shisha Shalzav, Lo Chalak Rebbe. Rebbe does not argue this. Ela Bent Fisa Achaz Bench Divis Kachwa, Din Kol Achat Mefi Ma'otel. It's always proportionate. So that's what Rebbe says when he says chokos b'shaveh. Does not mean, like Rashi says, equal, but proportionally, which is what, right, you said that by accident, right? But that's what Tosfos is. So that Tosfos says that the answer, when Rebbe comes along and says that I don't agree with Rabbi Natan, it means I agree with the third case that he put in there, because that I agree with. You get proportional, right? Your claim is...
But for a different reason, not the same man.
Yeah, it doesn't fit so well to the words of the Gemara. I mean, Rashi says, Lepika chokos b'shaveh.
Right.
And Tosfos is saying, yeah, but what Rebbe really means...
So I just said you can learn Rashi that way also.
Right.
You can learn Rashi to be saying that they divided proportionally.
But Rashi's logic...
If you can learn Tosfos interpreting Rebbe that way...
No, you can't see Rashi.
Yeah, because Rashi says they're...
Rashi's using the same words as Rebbe.
No, I...
Rashi says that their claims are different. I mean, that Rashi is using a different logic, which forces you to say they're divided equally, which is that they have an entire shibud on the entire estate. Which is, that's according to Rashi, you can't say they have proportional. They're getting proportional amounts. It seems to me, I could be wrong.
He's using the same words as Rebbe. Chokos b'shaveh is being proportional.
Just one second. All right, just but the wrong problem is that Rashi doesn't spell it out. That he'd be only arguing on the other two cases, which is very You have to clarify that he is bringing up
the same one. I'm not saying that's the way I think Rashi,
All right, so the way, I'm just giving you, let's just leave it like this. Rashi says the conclusion of the Gemara, at least to me, it looks like the Rashi is saying that they're dividing evenly until you clear your claim, right? And the way Tosfos is learning is that Rebbe's basically taking on the third case of the Mishnah, which is proportional division, right? And then he's saying that,
because of proportional
division. Because of proportional, implying that should be the case in the first two cases. We have an internal logic that's consistent.
I don't think Tosfos is understanding how it fits well with the words of the Gemara.
Okay, that's fair. Fine. We're going to go. This is a difficult Gemara. I said that from the start, but I'm just saying that it's important to know because that's the halacha. All right? Now, b'chein shlosha she'etil in the kis. All right, now, the Mishnah and the end concluded, so too, when you put it into a kis. What does that mean? So too, when you put it in a kis. Two people who divide up, meaning that they're going to go do business together. So they put it into money in together. They don't put it in evenly. One puts in 100, one puts in 200. As charli emtza, they divide up evenly. They divide the profits equally, not proportionately, but equally. So Amar Rabba Mistabra Milsa de Shmo Bashor the Kharisha Vomid Kharisha. When they bought a shore to plow, and they're using it to plow with it. Why? Because my 100 and your 200 are equal in making this, buying the shore. Even though we're not equally owners of the shore, but without the other partner, there's no way we would have the shore to plow. I can't take my third out, and you wouldn't be able to plow. If I take my two thirds out, you wouldn't be able to plow. So we're equal over here. Why so? Yeah, but here it says la'emtza, which is a different term. We're going to see in a second that they do it in a second. It says la'emtza, right? Aval b'shor l'charisha v'omed l'tvicha. If they bought it to plow, but then they end up shechting it for its meat, right? Zeno telifim otav, zeno telifim otav, which is explicit. There they take proportionate to their investment. Rav Amnuna amar afilu shor l'charisha v'omed l'tvicha eskar la'emtza. Even in a case where they bought it to plow and they end up dividing up the meat, right there, they still goes into the middle. They divide it 50-50. So the question, obviously, the logic in Rabba's sense makes sense. He says, what? If you're plowing, when they're using the shore as a single entity, right? We can't divide a shore in half. We can't break it up. So when it's a single entity, we both own the entity. And therefore, when we have profits, we'll split the profits that are there equally, even though we have different proportional ownerships in the shore, because it's doing a single work that couldn't be done with either of us. So we're equal in the sense of allowing this to happen. If we shift the shore, we're not using it for work, then the shore is easily divisible. Right? You have meat here, and I own a third, you own two thirds, so let's break it up according to our proportional ownership.
Even though you're sharing the shore, right, the profits are very easily distributable by...
Right, but I'm just saying, it's a logic. We wouldn't think of it that way. We think of it as proportional and everything.
Really, the 100 must have management rights.
Right. Very good. That's exactly what Tosfos says. Like, very good, excellent. So that's going to say, now the problem is in Rav Menuhin's pshat. Rav Menuhin's pshat, who says what? That they always divide 50-50, right? Even when we're dividing up this meat, the logic of saying that you have a single entity here that's working towards a goal, you don't have anymore. It's being split up, the shore. Why not split it proportional to their ownership rights? So, thank you, Jeff. That's exactly what Tosfos said. He says, why would the guy ever agree to this? I mean, it makes no sense. So he says, is it Tosfos Reed, maybe, not Tosfos. It's Tosfos Reed, sorry. They have a general, right? He has that sometimes a guy is, here, it's the third, two, four, fifth line down in Tosfos Reed. Sheyesh bnei adam shecharifim heim b'masu matan. There are certain guys who are better at business, right? Yeter michavreim from other guys. Therefore, mipnei shehosiv zeh lahatil matov yoter. Just because this guy put in more money, shemei pnei avato, or because he likes the guy, whichever one it is, lo chayshi. He doesn't worry about this. Hilkaf chos mashlo pirshu. Right? They didn't split up el hervichu mistam. They have the profits. Chokim askar ben shnei lemsa. It goes equally. Basically, that's his point. I'd be willing to put in 200 because I know this guy's good in business. So even though he is going
to
own less,
that's very big. You put in 20, put in one.
Right. But the point is that you feel like he's going to do a better job than me with it. So I'm willing to put in more, even though my profit, my percentage take will be lower. Like you're saying, like a general partner versus a limited partner. Management rights to the general partner entitle him to a certain excess of the profits because he's doing the work to actually make the investment happen. So it's exactly what he believes here. He's willing to give up. Right, he's willing to give up his proportional ownership in order to do this because what? He's getting a profit from a guy. He's getting work from a guy who's really good at this. All right, just to explain the lesson. All right. Next, Meitave. Shnayim sheitilu lekis zemana b'zematayim. So you have two people put into a pot. Haschar la'emtza. Then we divide it 50-50. My love, what's the case here? B'shor l'charisha v'omei d'tzficham. Is it a case where they bought a shore for plowing and ended up shechting it? That ends up being a problem for Rabba, because Rabba says that Tzchala Emtza is only when they use it for plowing. If they do Tzficha, they split it. So Mar says, no, lo, B'shorucha Risha V'omedach Risha. It's a case like Rabba explained, of what? They bought it to plow, and they plow with it. But if you have a shor for what plowing and omid tzvicha, my what's the din? Zen otel lifnei otav, zen otel lifnei otav. Then it's a equal division. So Mar says, then if that's the case, at a tani seifa in that brisa, right? I mean, the mission is not obvious either way. So the mission is trying to explain which one does it go according to Rabba or Rabba Amnuna. So they tried to challenge Rabba with it. Rabba says, no, I can make the mission work with me. What? What's the problem with that? The brisa work with me. Seifa, the second half of the brisa says what? Locha zebishalo, vzebishalo. What happens if they bought independently? They bought the stuff. Then vinit arvu, and then they bring the partnership together. Not that they put money in, but they bought independent objects and then they bring it together. Zen no telefim otav, zen no telefim otav. They divided along their what? Proportional ownership. But according to Rav Amnuna, you didn't have to go so far to find the proportional division. Then you could have just lift lug the lit nebi today. You could have the permission internally, you could have had an easy case. The first case is talking about a case where he bought it to plow and it's plowing. Right then, aval b'shor l'charisha v'omed l'tzvicha. Then you divide it proportionately. I mean that the Mishnah had an easier way, according to Rav Amnuna, to explain the two different cases. One where you get even division, one where you get proportional division, without going to a second case. They could have done it internally in that case. Achanami kamar. That's exactly what the Braisa is saying. Right? This is the classic way the Gemara reads into the Braisa. Where's the case where we divide it evenly? That's when you bought it for plowing and it plows. But if you bought it to plow and then you end up shechting it, it becomes like the case of what? Each of us bought it prior to hand and then we put it in together. And therefore we get proportional ownership.
That's not right.
Rabba is trying to explain the Gemara, and then he has a problem with the second half of mission, then we say we can explain
it. It's that if you buy the Tzvicha and yourself, Tzvicha, that they split by the proportion.
Yes.
Which is strange, based on what Jeff said to us three, then even in that kind of case, you should say he's a better businessman.
Right. It's a good question, but if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, in other places, Tosfos says it's lav dafka. Right, I think he said, I forgot where he wrote it. It says, "My love, Shorcha Rishon made the Tzvicha, Mayim Yikoch Kushi at the time same time Yikoch." My love, too much. I think somewhere someone says that's lav dafka, that it's
business.
Right. I mean, then the difference there is not about the business. The difference is about what you're buying it for. I mean, are you buying it for a division of parts, which is Tzvicha? Right, Tzvicha. The chiddush is that even when you bought it for Chavisha, when you originally started, you bought it to plow, and you ended up splitting it, that you still split it proportionally. I mean, obviously, if you bought it for proportionate, I mean that you originally bought it for meat, and then you use it for meat, then it was always a divisible item, according to you.
If you bought it for Tzvicha, the portion that what, it can get proportionally.
Yeah.
Why can't you say the same thing that Jeff's saying? I'm a better business person. I should, you know.
Right.
You should be able to say that even for Tzvicha.
That might be Rav Amnuna might agree to that. I'm not saying Rav Amnuna doesn't agree.
Right, I mean, he's talking about the case.
He's answering to Rabba's case, right? It might be that he believes that.
Right.
All right, so now we have a Mishnah. V'chein shlosha sheitilu l'kis, our Mishnah over here, right? If you have three people that put into a kis, pichtu o tiru, if they increased in value or went down in value, kachin o choking, they divide the same way. What's the same way? Right, so there's my love. Pichtu mamash, it went down. What was the case right before that in our Mishnah? That's the third case in the Mishnah. How does the third case in the Mishnah divide the spoils? It's proportionate. Right? So you see what? That here you have a case where they're putting into a pot together. And what? They're dividing it up proportionately. Right? So that's going to be a problem for, well, depends who. Rashi thinks it's a problem for Shmuel in his whole halakha over here. Right, that Shmuel says that you have this division, even division. Our Mishnah says no, that you always divide it proportionally. But Tosfos says it's a problem for Rav Amnuna, who doesn't give you an out. Rav Amnuna always believes what? He always believes that it's proportionate, and it really should be what? The division. We can see what? My law, pitchu pitchu mash, otiru otiru mash, no, I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rav Barabu, lo. Otiru zuze charete, otiru is zuze charete, pichtu as a stir de tsunaita. So what's going on here? So that if, you're right, if they had profits from this, right, then they would have split it, what? Well, that depends how you learn the Gemara over here, right? It depends what you thought was the, what you thought was earlier, what were the cases here. According to the way Tosfos is learning is the cases are all proportional. Therefore what? Therefore when we said in the Tilu the Kis, that meant what? That the profit should be divided proportionately,
profits.
Right?
Profits. No, right. Let's say if they bought a shor for 300 zuz,
right.
And they shechted it and they sold the meat and they got they got 400 tzitzis for, you know, for the various right. parts of meat, then the 100 tzitzis profit, they divide equally.
Yeah, but also they'll get their money back. They'll get their money back, plus they'll get the profit. They'll divide everything. Right. The whole pot will get divided.
That doesn't make any sense. And the 300 that they originally put in has got to be 200, 100.
Right. So he'll get two-thirds of the profits of everything, and he'll get one-third of everything.
But Rav Hamnuna says that they divided equally.
We're not in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says proportionate division, right? So you have proportionate division. Rav Hamnuna says what? That it's always lamtza, right? It's always equal division.
But that's just the profits. It can't be the original basic amount that they put
in. Okay, fine. But if for Rav Hamnuna, it provides a problem no matter what. Even if you divide the profit. When you divide them proportionally, it means you divide the original plus the excess, and either way, it's going to create a problem for Rav Hamnuna. There's never an equal division here. All right, so Rav Hamnuna is going to run a problem. That's the way Tosfos learns it. Tosfos learns the problem here is for whom? Is for Rav Hamnuna, because they did it. The problem, according to Rashi, is for Shmuel. For Shmuel, who originally says that what? That when you have these types of cases where you put into the pot together and you divide it up, proportionally, he says no. You divide it equally. He says no. You can only divide it. Our mission says clearly it's all proportionate. So how does the Gemara answer the problem? It's a case where there's no profit here. All right, there's no profit here. What do? They put into the pot and there's no profit. What happened? What does it mean? Hotiru, that they had more, or pechtu, they had less? Is that they exchanged the coin? The whole point of the business transaction was to what? End up with different types of coins here. Right? They had worn down coins, and they want to get better quality coins. So they're going to end up with the same amount of money, just better quality coins, or they're going to end up with the same amount of money with poorer quality coins. So that's what's picked to Otiro here. So therefore, why are they devising up proportionally? That's just what Shaul was saying, is what? Because if they never made any money here, right, then obviously Rav Hamnuna is going to agree, that the original amounts, the original investments, are redistributed according to what you put in. Right? It's only the excess profits that Rav Hamnuna or Shmuel are arguing that it's Chalemsa, right? Everybody, that it's a 50-50 split. They have to agree that the original amount goes back to the you get your cost basis back. Right? It's just the profits. Do you split the profits based on your proportional ownership, or do you divide it up based on what? Equally. So here our Mishnah, how do they answer up the Mishnah? They say our Mishnah is a case where there's no profit. So that's why. Why are you dividing it proportionally? Because there is no profit in this case. The whole idea of the ownerships, or the whole part of the partnership, it was to exchange coins and end up with the same amount of money anyway. They have the same amount of money. They're just taking their cost basis out of the pot, and that everybody's going to agree is proportional. Even Rav Hamnuna, who says when you have profits, you divide it evenly. All right, we'll just do the Mishnah quickly. Mishaya Nasui Dalit Nashim. He's married to four women. Umeita Rishona Kodemes Lishnia. Ushnia Lishlishi. So the guy dies. Rishona Kodemes Lishnia. The first wife has precedence over the second wife. Shnia Lishlishis. The second wife has precedence before the third wife. Shlishis the Revis. And the third wife has precedence before the fourth wife. Rishona Nishbeis Lishnia. When you have to take a Shvua, that she didn't take anything out of the state. When she comes to claim her Ksuba, she has to say, Lo Tifra Ela Bishvua. So what does she have to do? The first one swears to the second woman. Ushnia Lishlishis. The second woman swears to the third woman. Ushlishis the Revis. The third woman swears to the fourth. Revis Nifra Ela Bishvua. And the fourth one, there's nobody else left to make a claim against her.
So there are no Yerushim?
All right, so she takes without a shvua. But now, Menas Omer, v'chipnei shehi achrona niskeret, just because she's last, right? There's achrona from chaviv. Why? Just because she left, does she not have to take a shvua? You know, then what's her lucky day that she doesn't have to do it? Avi lo tifra ela b'shvua. She's got to take a shvua. What do you mean? She's got to take a shvua. She wants to get her money out of here. She's got to take a shvua. Ayotzit kulam b'yom echad. What happens if they were all married on one day? I mean, or their ksuba was all written on one day? Kol hakodem lechaverta afilu sha'achas zachta. But they timestamp it, right? So the timestamp, if the timestamp on that day is earlier, then we go by hours. If we don't have days, then we go by hours. Kacha yukotvim Yerushalayim sha'ot. Right? That day in Yerushalayim, they not only wrote the date, they wrote the hours, because who knows, the guy could get married a couple of women in one day, and we want to know who's first. Hayukulan yotze b'sha'achas, what happens if they all at once, right? They have the same hours written in them. Ein shem elamana chokos b'shove. There's only one mana left there, they divided equally. All right, we'll get to the Gemara on this tomorrow.